hopefully, to last Sunday. If this is your first Sunday here, or you've not been here real recently, we are doing a sermon series that actually began in January on the attributes of God, becoming acquainted with God, the majesty, the wonder, and all these things. And we went from that series into a focus on God as revealed through the Son, God the Son, Jesus Christ. And now we're looking at the focus on God as revealed through God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So last Sunday, again, was another installment of that. And we closed last Sunday, we ended our service last Sunday with a opportunity for people to come just to be prayed for what we were describing last week, this New Testament term of being full of the Spirit. Being full of the Spirit requires complete surrender and allowing ourselves to be emptied of all the things that are working contrary to God's Spirit. Basically, the flesh or our sinful nature. So we want to follow up with that this morning. You know, it's one thing to hear a sermon, to look at scriptural references. For me, anyway, it's always helpful also to hear how some people experience that, how they experience the Holy Spirit or surrender to the Holy Spirit or what that looks like in their life. So we're going to have a little bit of that this morning. Last Sunday, I told you how the service was going to end when I started, so I'll do that again today. This morning, I want to give, well, two things. We'll give an opportunity again for anyone who maybe either wasn't here last Sunday or thought, you know, I wish I would have gone forward and let someone pray for me regarding the ministry of the Holy Spirit in my life. We're going to give you that opportunity again at the end. But also, I want to give an opportunity at the end for brief, the key word is brief, brief testimonies, maybe for someone who came forward for prayer yesterday. God was stirring something in you, the Spirit was stirring something in you, and maybe God met you in a special way. He revealed something to you. He ministered to you through the week as a result of that. So if there's any of those testimonies, we'll give that opportunity at the end. So, okay, I'll repeat Brian's invitation to the picnic. I hope you can join us there today. And so let's dive in this morning. Jason and Vanessa, you're up. Come on up. And you guys are sitting like 8 chairs apart. Like, what's the deal? We offer marriage counseling around here, you know? Like, she's there and he's over there. I need the mic, Brian. Do you still have it? I'm sorry, I meant to get that from you earlier. Come on up, guys. So for those of you who have been coming to Living Hope for any amount of time, you probably recognize Jason and Vanessa Pfeiffer and their daughters, Hannah, who's over there, and Sophia, who's here in the middle. They're serving as missionaries with YWAM, Youth with a Mission, in St. Croix. And this is this little window of the year where they're back home with us. And as is our normal custom, we'd like to give them an opportunity just to give you an update, just say some of the things the Lord has been doing, what's been going on. So they were here last Sunday. I think you're here a few more weeks yet before you go home. So we're going to start there just in letting them share an update, and then I want to talk a little bit more with Jason about some things that God has been doing specifically in his life. So I'm going to stop talking now. I'll just let you guys give your update. I'll sort of get out of the way here. I can get my stuff out of the way too. So,
great. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, it's good to be home. We always appreciate being able to share and let everyone know kind of what's been happening in our lives over the last year. So thank you so much for your support and just, your encouragement to us. I'm going to start, Sophia. The girls have been very involved in the ministry. We've just really appreciated seeing them kind of jump in and be involved with some of the things that we're involved with. But Sophia wants to go to class, so I'm going to have her share just a quick story about something that she's been involved in the last year. So Sophia, tell me what you've been doing. Well, we have a basketball ministry, so a couple nights a week, a bunch of the local guys come and play basketball for a few hours. And Sophia, what have you been doing during that time when I'm playing basketball?
Playing with kids.
Right, yeah, you've been playing with kids. And there's one of the dads that brings his little children to the basketball court, right?
Yes.
Okay. And what do you do with the kids? You said you've been playing with the kids. What are some of the things that you do with them?
They like to play tag a lot.
Okay. And how old are these kids?
The oldest is 6, the youngest is 2, and the middle is 4.
Okay. And you've been playing with them for a few hours during the basketball time so that their dad can play basketball, right? Because he doesn't have anybody to watch his kids. And are they, like, really well-behaved kids? Do they just kind of do whatever you tell them to and just kind of be really compliant with you?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. What happens the other times?
I don't know.
They fight and they jump all over you and they don't really behave really well, do they, all the time? But Sophia's just really, she came to me and Vanessa and really said, you know, I feel God is just really asking me just to spend time with them and entertain them while their dad plays basketball. And the other week, you did something really special for them. You, God told you to do something else, too. And what was that?
Give them a Bible.
And you have a little Bible that you weren't using anymore, right? So how did they react when you were kind of nervous when you went to give them the Bible?
They really liked it, too.
He started, like, hugging it and kissing it, didn't he?
Yes.
And how did you feel?
How did you feel after you gave it to him? Was that easy to do? Were you scared? And how did it feel after you did it?
I was really happy.
Yeah, so that's been really special for us. Sophia just really wanted to share that. And, okay, you can go to class. So, Hannah, did you want to share anything? Okay. Yeah, Hannah's been also being a part of the worship team. And she's enjoyed being on the worship team and just learning. She's playing the keyboard, and so it's been neat to see both the girls really be a part of the ministry. So yeah, just give a couple quick highlights of our last year. It was one of the harder years that we've had. We've been there for 5 years now. This December will be 5 years since we've left, so time goes really quickly. And we had a leadership transition. The directors that were there were asked to leave in the last year, and that was not a very easy time for us. So we went through a very difficult leadership transition in the last year. That started probably about this time last summer. And then for about 8 months, we operated as a leadership team. I was already on the leadership team with another person on staff, and then Vanessa joined the leadership team when we didn't have directors there. So we operated for about the past 8 months as a team. We ran a DTS during that time. We have been working on finishing the building. Some of you came and helped with the new building that we're doing, the second floor. It's going to be our DTS center and prayer room and a library, a student center. So we've done a lot of work on that in the last year. That should be ready by October 1st. That'll be ready to move into, so we're really excited about that. So the building, the leadership transition, Vanessa tore her ACL, was in the hospital, had to come here for surgery, and then when we went back, she ended up in the hospital again, so we spent Christmas in the hospital this year. So it was just a very busy year for us, but God was so faithful and brought us through a lot of it. So what would you like to share?
like Jason said, it has been an interesting journey that I think neither him and I would have thought we'd have to go through all this in 1 year. Normally things happen to people like in stages. God decided to throw everything out at the same time and see what we were made from, right? It has been interesting, and even going through all this transition and what I see a lot of God shifting what our vision was originally, or what we always have this thing in our minds of what missions or what ministry looks like, but we don't take the time, what does that look like to God? And all of a sudden God puts you through a series of events, and all of a sudden your shift goes from, this is actually originally what God intended and not what we make it look like. So all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, okay. And even for me, going from being full-time in the kitchen to have an injury for God to put me aside to really ministry to what he wants me to do, I always will be a cook. I have a title. I always will be a cook. But that, for God, he shifted to, okay, yeah, you're a cook, but you're a discipler. So, and you are a pastor, and then you are a friend, and then you are, and then all those things that we have known have shifted completely to, okay, God, now I get it. Okay, here I am. And then go in that. That is exhausting, absolutely. That it's draining, absolutely. And if you're not on the word and listening to what God is saying daily, man, you're in trouble, because that is a lifestyle. Discipling people is a lifestyle. It is not a job, and it's not a description. It's what we're called to do. So it doesn't matter if you're in church, if you're married, you have missions, if you, you know, it doesn't matter if you're at your job. That's literally what I see God now, it's showing. Your job is to put a foundation so others can jump on that foundation and be launched into whatever God has for them. It has not been easy. You know, this year with all my health issues, and actually, believe it or not, it was a challenge for me not to be in the kitchen. I at one point have the guy that was working with me saying, I can't wait for you to get back in the kitchen. I said, dude, I don't even know when that's going to happen. But even knowing that I was able to release that and not be so consumed by what was happening or not happening, God had it, I didn't. Man, it went beyond my expectations of how things have been run, smooth, you know, and even having staff coming back, I said, well, you taught us well, you know, it's like, you know what? If I look at it, yes, I was teaching, I was discipling, so others can take over for what I was doing. And now shifting things to the other side of the story, where I'm not only a wife and a mother, you know, and a missionary, I'm actually a disciple of Christ, and not just a job. So that has been an amazing transformation, I think, for the whole year, just going through so much that at times I felt like I was drowning, and God said, I got it. And I was like, I don't think so, because I think you're kicking the bucket for me when I'm not ready to kick the bucket yet. But man, all along he have got it, and that's all I have to just ride the wave. Just be with him and just ride the wave, and whatever he does, you know, I'm just right there with him. So, yeah.
Yep. So in March, our board of directors had come and asked us to step into the leadership role in St. Croix. So we went from working as a leadership team and then actually becoming the directors there. And what the big change that has looked like for us, as Vanessa was saying, is going from a lot of the ministries we did, we're still doing those ministries, but really turning our focus and our attention more to the staff and saying, okay, it's not just us ministering to the island of St. Croix and doing these ministries. Now we have 10 staff, you know, 12 staff, it's going to be growing here this summer, that we're responsible for, and we need to disciple and pour into their lives and see what God has in store for them to be able to release them into more ministry. So that's been a lot of our kind of shift of focus over the last year.
And now we've got to become mom and dad too. That's okay. literally mom and dad to 10 staff that are under the age of, what, 30? So we actually the oldest couple there. The only family. Before, when we started, we have 5 families. Now we're down to 1 family. And a lot of young adults that God have just allow us the privilege. I see that as a privilege. That is difficult, yes, but he allows us the privilege to now being able to, if you want to call it mom and dad or grandparents or whatever, because they joke a lot, and they're like, oh yeah, grandma, grandpa, and I say, stop it, I'm not there yet. But seeing us on a different perspective of they're looking to us to guidance. They want to walk a life of obedience, and they want us to just help them just do that.
That's been our last year.
Thanks, Vanessa. So I asked Jason to stay up on stage with me. You know, every year they come home, Jason and I have the same discussion. Like, okay, you guys want to share? Yeah, we'll share. And I think the last couple years, maybe we actually had you preach when you were here. Excuse me. And this year, I said, you know what, Jason, I would love to interview you about this journey, this five-year journey. And the reason Vanessa isn't up here, because I wanted to focus in on this guy particularly. I'll get to that more in a minute. So last Sunday in the message, at the end of the message, you know, the message was, again, like focusing on this phrase, full of the Spirit, that shows up throughout the New Testament, full of the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. And I talked about some of the things I thought were necessary to really give ourselves to be filled with the Spirit, to be walking a place of submission and obedience and all that. But then at the end, I shared these couple things. I shared this thing I call the echo prayer. When I believe that when we pray to God, I want more of you. Have you ever prayed that to God? God, I want more of you. I believe he echoes that prayer right back to us saying, I want more of you. It's a two-way thing. We have to partner with God in the things he wants to accomplish in our lives. And I said these three things. I said, if what we really seek from God are new levels of authority, new levels of authority, a feeling of more spiritual authority or walking in more authority, I would suggest that's going to require new levels of submission on our part. Because if we really want God to give us his authority, then we have to say no to all of our other plans, and we have to walk in submission. The second one was, if we want new levels of revelation, like a greater understanding of Scripture or more hearing his voice or really connecting with God in deeper ways, it's going to require new levels of study and prayer. I said last week, I know that sounds old-fashioned, but it doesn't come any other way as far as I'm concerned. If you're in God's Word and you're spending time in prayer, you're positioning yourself for greater understanding and revelation. And then the third one was, for new levels of opportunity, do you want to see new doors open? Do you want to see God open new doors of opportunity for you? I would suggest that's going to require new levels of obedience and being obedient and stepping into those. So that's kind of the framework. As Jason and I were talking this week, we began talking about some things that have happened in your journey now, 5 years, that actually you've seen those very things in your life. And what made me want to do this morning, and this has happened multiple times since you guys have left, but more in the past few years as I've been watching and observing what God has been doing, my mind always goes back to a Sunday morning right down there, standing with Jason and Vanessa, commissioning them to go to St. Croix, commissioning prayer, and they were sharing, and how many of you were here? Do you remember? Were you here that morning? Some of you were here. I don't know if you remember anything about that morning. And I'm sorry, Vanessa, I don't remember much of what you said. I really don't. I'm sorry. There was a lot of words, you know, but I for some reason, what Jason said that morning stuck in my head. Because, and you can correct me if I don't get this, from what you recall, Jason's words were not maybe what I expected normally to hear someone say when they were taking a big step into the mission field. But what did you say? What did you communicate?
Yeah, I just remember at that point, just some feelings of, I really had no idea what I was going for. You know, I knew that God was calling our family into the mission field, and I always looked at Vanessa. I was like, wow, she has all these skills in the kitchen and all these other things with hospitality that she can really, that she can use those skills in the mission field, and God is really going to use those. And I was dealing at that time with a lot of feelings like, okay, I really don't know what I'm going to be doing. I really have nothing. I love to play volleyball. I love to hunt. You know, how am I going to use those in the mission field, you know? And just even with my experience with my job. So I was really dealing with a lot of things. Like, I'm going, I really have no idea what I'm going to be doing, but I'm going to go in obedience. And feeling very inadequate to what I was called to.
Yeah, and I just clearly remembered that because, like you say, you weren't really sure what you were going to bring to the mix, so to speak. And for those of you who have interacted with Jason more recently, like you've heard him preach at Living Hope, or you've heard him share about all the things that God is doing in St. Croix, you might think, oh, well, while Jason was here, he was probably like on the elder team or preaching or teaching or something. No, he wasn't. Like, Jason was a very much behind the scenes, laid back kind of guy. I think you helped with some ushering for a while, but Jason was not the guy that would be like, oh yeah, like I want to be involved in teaching. I want to lead a life group. That wasn't Jason. So I'm hoping one of the things, as Jason shares this morning, there might be those of you in the audience, you've convinced yourself, you know, that I really don't have much to give to ministry. I really don't have much to give. And I know ministry is kind of a scary word. Okay, forget that word. I don't have much to offer to the church or to God. Like, I'm just a regular dude or dudette. I don't think that's a real word, but anyway. So if we kind of use this framework, because you had pointed out a couple things to me. Jason is not who he was 5 years ago. And those of you who know him know that's true. So you and I were talking about this. This new levels of authority require new levels of submission. And I think the Lord brought something specific to your mind that you recall in this journey for yourself.
Yeah, it was not long after we got to St. Croix. One of the things that I had to do when we went into the mission field was I did love playing volleyball. And one of my things had been, like, I really want to play professional volleyball. And so I trained a lot and practiced a lot for that. And as God called our family to the mission field, I was kind of realizing, okay, this is something I'm probably going to have to lay down. And this is the end of my career or whatever, just playing a lot, you know. And so I was willing to do that. I was willing to say, okay, Lord, I'll lay it down and we'll go to St. Croix. And there may be some volleyball there, but it's not going to be at the level that I was ever hoping. I think it was within the first 2 months or 3 months that we got there, I was able to play with a couple guys, and somebody approached me and said, wow, we have never seen this. This sounds really egotistical.
Go for it, Jason. I was going to say it if he didn't. When you say he likes to play volleyball, that's not just messing around in the lawn somewhere. Jason is a professional level, very highly skilled volleyball player. Okay, you don't have to
say
it.
Yeah, thank you. They came to me and they said, we would love if you would play for our beach national team, and we'll pay for you to travel, you know, we'll send you to tournaments. There's a guy that's looking for a partner. This is 2-on-2, and he said, this is just, you know, we've been waiting for somebody like that could step up and really play for our national team. So I was just excited. I was like, yes, Lord, you brought me to St. Croix. I thought I was laying this down, and now you brought me here and have given me this opportunity to fulfill a dream of what I've always wanted to do. So I went back home to Vanessa. I'm like, Vanessa, guess what? I get to, you know, I got this offer or whatever. And she was like, oh, okay, great. Thought you laid that down, you know? And, she was very excited that I had the offer, but I could tell right away there wasn't something there. And to make a long story short, we went to our leaders at the time and started talking to them and seeing what their opinion was. We went to the Lord, spent a lot of time praying and asking the Lord. And my flesh wanted so badly to do that. I was trying to twist it and think, man, this could really be another form of ministry or whatever. But it was just really clear through Vanessa, through our leaders at the time, and through God's just praying and asking him. It's very clear that it was something else that he was asking me to lay down again. And so it was probably one of the hardest things I did. Like I said, it was a couple months after we had gotten there. I still didn't really know what my role was going to be there. So I thought, well, this was my new role, you know. Mm-hmm. And I laid that down, but that was that when you were talking about submission last week, I was like, okay, God brought that to my mind right away, and that was like, man, you submitted to me, I submitted to my wife, to my leaders. You know, I think it's not just to God where that submission plays into the part. It's submitting to who we have in authority above us too, and to our spouses a lot. And so that was a really key point that I noticed God to start release more of that authority in the Holy Spirit and in my life when I was willing to lay something that was so passionate for me or so important to me. I was willing to submit that to him.
Mm-hmm. I would just add real quickly to that. That was early in your time there, but Jason mentioned, you mentioned in your comments a few minutes ago that there was a leadership transition there within the past year.
Right.
And I observed Jason and Vanessa walk in absolute submission to authority through that whole thing. Like, they were absolutely submitted to the leadership. They were absolutely submitted to the board. So I just commend both of you for that. You know, this piece here was early, but God was building that in you. Because I suspect that this second piece that stretched out for a considerable period of time was a bit more, required a lot more of you in terms of submission, but you guys walked in that very respectable and honorable way.
Yeah,
so thank you.
Can I just elaborate on that?
Yeah,
it was very, this leadership transition that we went through was very difficult. And we had seen some unhealthy patterns in our leaders and some things that were unbiblical that we went to them and addressed them many times. But one of the challenges for the last, you know, this just happened last year, but it was almost a year before that too, almost the last 2 years, was the question we kept asking the Lord was, how do we walk in submission to our authority when we see these things happening that are not biblical? And we've actually talked to them and confronted them with it. And so how do we continue walking in that submission to authority when what is happening is not what should be happening? And so that was a real struggle for us to try and honor them at the same time. To try and honor them, but also confront what we saw was not biblical.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that was very difficult.
Yeah, but you guys really walked in that clearly. So then the second thing I suggested last Sunday was that if we really want to walk in new levels of revelation, understanding of God's word, understanding of what God is saying and speaking, it will require of us new levels of study and prayer. If you want God to step up his revelation, we have to step up our time with him and our time before him. And you went down that road too.
I did. About 3 years ago now, I felt God laying on my heart to go through a Bible school, an online Bible school. And it was a 9-month course, and it was just really, really intense. I read through the Bible almost 5 times within that 9 months. And just dissected every verse and every chapter of certain books, and it was just really, really difficult. It was difficult on my family. I was trying to balance all our responsibilities, but I was putting in almost 20 hours a week in this school, and so a lot of responsibilities and a lot of schooling at the same time. But again, that was that being in the Word and studying the Scripture, and really, again, I felt that authority. I felt that God was releasing that.
Revelation and understanding.
That revelation going through that intensive time of studying the Word.
A very practical question. How did you fit 20 extra hours into your week? What did that look like on a day-to-day basis? Like, did you figure out some kind of rhythm, pattern? Like you just said you read through the Bible about 5 times. If you want to read through the Bible one time over 12 months, you're reading generally about 3 chapters every single day. About every single day. So if you're going to do that in 9 months and times 5, I mean, you were reading massive amounts of Scripture every single day.
Yeah, I remember one of the things I had to do was just sit down and, like, you read through a book out loud in one sitting. So Genesis, I think, is like 48, 50 chapters, something like that. So just sat down, read that out loud. I mean, it took about 3.5-4 hours to read it out loud to myself. But, you know, I had to do those kind of things. And so it was evenings, it was time during the day when I could sit down and read. It was weekends, every Saturday and Sunday afternoon, I was just reading and studying.
Yeah. So for those of you who are saying that you don't have time, I get it. None of us have time. You have to find the time. You have to make the time. If you want more of God in this regard, he's going to say, well, I need more of your time. You can't just give me the little 5 minutes in the prayer before the meal. That isn't going to cut it. And that's been your, because I remember when Molly and I were down a couple summers ago, you were telling me about this thing you were doing and how many hours it was taking and all the papers you had to write and things you had to research. So you definitely stepped that up. The third one then was for new levels of opportunity require on our part new levels of obedience. And I know you said that connected with you as well.
Yeah, just another quick story. We had a teacher come. They come to our discipleship training school and teach. And we're on obedience, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
And so this was pretty early in our time in St. Croix, too. And we were dealing with just some things that have been holding us, you know, some maybe bondage or things that we were struggling with. And one of the things was to confess them out loud, which is very hard, you know, in front of a group. You're struggling with things to take that a step of obedience and vulnerability and just share it out loud. But we confessed what we were struggling with, and one of the big things for me was fear of man. Terrified of doing certain things because people would think how I'm acting, or, you know, people would judge me for what I'm doing. So fear of man was something that I really struggled with for a lot of years. But I confessed it out loud, and then we went into this prayer time where the teachers were just kind of praying over us. And I was just kind of pacing back and forth at the back of the room, and as they were praying, I kind of walked over, there were some wooden chairs in the corner, and I felt God say, you need to pick that chair up and just smash it. And they're like, this is a big wooden chair. And I was like, and it was like
quiet. That's
weird,
man. That's weird.
It is. This is really strange. And everyone was like quiet and praying, and they're like praying over people doing ministry. And God's like, you just got to pick this chair up and start smashing it. And I walked away. I was like, no way. I'm like, I'm not doing that. I walked to the other side of the room. I'm like, that's just crazy. And I walked back, and he's like, no, you got to do this because this was breaking this fear of man. This was like, because my first thought was, well, if I do that, everyone's going to look at me. I'm going to be the center of attention. I'm going to be like, you know, what are they going to think of me? I paced back and forth, and I could feel it building. I just picked the thing up and finally
just started smashing those chairs.
Smashed it into like 30 pieces or whatever. Some of our staff that was there never lets me forget that. But again, it was a real breakthrough of that fear of man, and it's still something I continually have to take back to the Lord, that I'm not going to fall into that again.
Mm-hmm.
But I could tell from that point on, when I stepped out in obedience to him, asking me to do something kind of off the wall and crazy that I knew people would look at me for, I really really experienced a freedom in that area then, through that obedience.
Yeah, yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend people going around smashing chairs. But it was just, it was a really odd thing, but it was really, it was a symbolic of just breaking that bondage.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, just to be clear, I mean, this morning is not about puffing up or exalting Jason. I know that's not his heart at all. But what I wanted to tie in to this focus on the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit as a result of our surrender, our obedience, our submission. When Molly and I went down to St. Croix, I think it was two summers ago, we went down with a team from Living Hope, and you guys were not in leadership at the time, but something became evident to me, and almost like the first day there, I came to this realization, like, Jason and Vanessa are the mom and dad. Like, I could just see the way everybody was coming to them with questions, the way people were relating to them. And it was two things. It was like mom and dad, and Jason is the shepherd of this base. I didn't say that out of disrespect to the leaders. I mean, I know some leaders are wired as shepherds, others are not, which all leaders are wired differently. But I could see that God was raising you up as a shepherd, and you and Vanessa, as she already said, as disciplers, as mom and dad to the people on the base. So when I heard that there was likely going to be a leadership change, I mean, this was like a no-brainer to me. I'm like, man, you guys are already leading in a lot of ways, not in all ways, but God had positioned you with a very high level of respect among the staff. I did something I didn't tell you I was going to do. I actually reached out to some of the staff this week, and I won't go through nearly everything, but it was consistent. What they said, what they appreciate about you is your humility, your service, your dependability, your care, your love for the staff. So again, this isn't about elevating Jason this morning, but I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this, but I'm going to ask you anyway. What would you say this morning to someone who's sitting out here who's right where you were 5 years ago? They're saying, like, look, I like to hunt, I like to golf, I like to whatever, you know, I don't have anything that is of worth or value to the church or any kind of outreach or any kind of ministry. And they may be almost convinced that having any kind of impact for the Lord is for certain people but not for other people. Like, in a few sentences, what would you say to them this morning?
Yeah. I would say, you know, for me, and I think just in general, it takes a intentional choice to change some of the things. It took intentional choices to change some of the things in my life. And even though maybe I didn't want to recognize them or see them, I knew I didn't have, or I didn't feel like I had anything to offer. But again, that obedience and just asking the Lord, what are those changes I need to make in my life? What are those things I need to lay down? Where is that step of obedience? And then saying, I'm willing to do whatever. It's you know, laying down your biggest dream. It's stepping out in faith in areas, and God will be faithful with that. And you don't know it until you do it, because, you know, that's what God wants, that step of faith, to say, just lay everything down just for me, and then I will be faithful and show you where your next step is.
Yeah, it's like getting off the sidelines and just somehow getting in.
Yeah, and it has to be, I just know for me, it was just real intentional choices, like laying some of those things down and saying, I'm going to do this, maybe even if my heart doesn't feel it, you know, if my emotions aren't in it, still God's asking me to do it, so I'm going to step forward in faith and make those choices.
Right. A number of weeks ago, I was using the word positioning. Positioning ourselves, trying to put ourselves in a place where God can use us. And as I was thinking about that this morning, that in a sense for you, even going to St. Croix was a positioning thing for you. You didn't really know what you were going to do even when you got there. Like, I'm not sure, but I feel like God is calling me to be in that place. So positioning can be actual physical. I know people that live in the city because they want God to use them there. There are people that live, like geographically it can be a thing, or just other ways of positioning yourself. You know, when you went through that intense study, that Bible school, that's positioning yourself for God to bring revelation, to bring understanding. I mean, there's these things that we do. We don't really know what God wants to do, but we at least get into position. So, and I saw you do that.
Yeah, I just lost my thought.
I talked too long. Sorry.
No. What I was going to say is the other thing is if we, you know, one thing I've realized, if we believe that God created us, that he has a plan for us. And I mean, that's something we just say all the time, right? Oh, God's working on me, or he has a plan for me. If we believe that, then it takes those steps of faith to realize that he does have that, even though we may not feel like it at this time.
Right, right. Well, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me pray for you guys. Vanessa, come back up here. Sorry. Father, thank you for Jason and Vanessa, for Hannah and Sophia. God, the way that you continue to use them, God, it's just, I don't know if fascinating is the right word, but it is fascinating to me to look back now in the rearview mirror, a mirror that stretches back 5 years, and obviously long before that in their personal journeys, in their marriage. But God, just specifically in this chapter, to see the ways you have positioned them, the ways you've been maturing them and using them, developing them over these 5 years. God, to see the fruitfulness that they're walking in now. And God, we know it's just the beginning. You have so much more ahead for them as they continue to submit to you, to obey you, to give their time to you. So God, I ask your blessing on them. God, first as individuals, I pray for Jason and his personal relationship with you, God, that his times with you would be sweet, that he would be quick to listen to your voice, that he would be looking for you in all situations. I pray for Vanessa, God, for her personal relationship with you as a precious daughter of yours. God, strengthen her relationship with you, her communication with you, her time with you, God. Then as husband and wife, God, knit them together. Increasingly, Lord, as they serve together, as they walk side by side in the things you're calling them to, I pray, God, your blessing on their communication, their love for each other, their time together. God, protect them from the busyness that comes with leadership and the pulls, the needs that always want to pull at us. God, I pray that you protect them from that, strengthen their relationship. As parents, God, bless their relationship with Hannah and Sophia as they are living their lives as examples before them, as they are teaching them, leading them. Bless them, give them wisdom as parents, God, and then as leaders. Give them a special grace, God, for this new role that they're walking in now. God, release the wisdom that they need for this. Release the insight. Release the patience. Release all that they will need, God, to serve you in this role. So we commit them again to you, God, as they return in a few more weeks. God, continue to bless them and use them by the power and the filling of your Holy Spirit, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. God bless you guys. All right. Thank you, Jason and Vanessa. And yeah. Donna, I'm inviting Donna to come up. Donna Smith. Many of you know Donna. her and I have been kind of conversing over the past few weeks about just this whole subject of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that our conversation led to that I thought fits right in with where we are this morning, we were talking about just this thing of hearing the voice of God, hearing the voice of God. And sometimes we make it so like, wow, what? How could I ever possibly, like, how could God ever speak to me? Like, that sounds like, oh, that must be reserved for like the top 1% of the most holy people, that they actually hear God speak to them. But you shared with me just a precious verse, something that Jesus said to remind us of that. So I won't say any more. I'll just let you just share a little bit some of your experiences about that, like actually feeling like or knowing that God is communicating with you.
Well, in John 10:14, it says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, knowing the voice of the whole, of the Father, and the knowing the Father's heart. And the only way is doing that is through our spirits." And through the Holy Spirit speaking to our spirits, we are made out of spirit, mind, and body. But our spirit is really who we really are, because that goes on living forever. And our spirit can be so connected to the Holy Spirit. And the Father will speak to us through the Holy Spirit. Just some things that I had shared with Pastor Ron. One of the times, the previous church we had gone to was multiple churches, and we would always have an international leadership conference at Sandy Cove. And the one year we ended up bumping into this one couple, and because we have so many kids, we had said, "Do you have children?" And they say, "No, not yet." And the next year we ended up ironically sitting again with them, and again, not quite remembering them, and we again asked, "Do you have any children?" And because, well, usually I either was very pregnant or had a newborn during these conferences, so that always, and again they said, "No, not yet." Several months later, I was down in our basement, and the Holy Spirit came on me and said, "Paula is pregnant." Now, I didn't think of Paula and her husband since the conference. At least I don't remember, but the Lord showed me that Paula was pregnant. So I prayed for him, for her, and just for the pregnancy. And about a week or two later, through the church's prayer requests, there was an elder in the Virginia church that the wife is just pregnant, and that she got Bell's palsy. And in my spirit, I knew right away, that has to be Paula. So I ended up making connections to the pastor in Virginia, the wife, and found out it was Paula. Paula was pregnant, and she ended up having Bell's palsy. I ended up really praying for her and getting in touch with Paula, and we ended up praying and things like that. And again, it was just being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Just not knowing, it's like, why is, often we get people, it's like someone comes into our mind, and, then they come back in your mind, and you haven't thought of them for a long time. Well, that's the prompting of the Holy Spirit, saying that person needs prayer for. Another one that I, just sharing, there was a woman, her name was Abby, who was going to Uzbekistan, and I knew that she was, and I wanted to encourage her before she went, but how life goes on, I just never did. And the one day I just felt, I have to get a hold of Abby. I didn't have her phone number. I ended up having to make several phone calls. And finally, the person that knew a phone number for them said, "Do you know where Abby is?" I was like, "No, she's at the airport leaving for Uzbekistan." And I was able to actually call her mom's phone and ended up being able to pray for Abby. And it's that knowing our spirit, it talks also in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing." And the only way of being able to pray without ceasing is having our whole spirit so connected to the Holy Spirit that we are so in tune to when God says pray for someone or, do something to encourage someone else. Often, the Lord says, pray for someone or call someone for, and see how they're doing or an encouraging word. And often it's right when it is, and it's not me. It's just my obedience to the Lord. And it is so neat to be used by the Lord. We are vessels of the Holy Spirit. We are God's servants, and it's just the neatest thing to be able to be used by God and seeing God be glorified in all that.
Thank you. Thank you. And Carol, if you would come up yet. Carol was sharing with me a story that happened to her a number of years ago. In this same vein of feeling a very specific prompting from the Lord, so I'll just let you tell the story. I won't set it up anymore.
Well, those of you who know me know that I'm driven by a to-do list and a plan and all those good things. And so when I was asked to go on a business trip 13 years ago to California, I had a plan. I knew what I was going to accomplish and who I was going to see, and I was dead set to accomplish it. But God had other plans. And so when I got there and ended up Sunday morning worshiping at a 1,000-person church where people were singing in tongues over people singing in English, it was like this very moving thing that the Holy Spirit was so clearly right there. So kind of I was in that space of being surrounded by people who were experiencing the Holy Spirit at the same time. And later on in the service, the pastor up front said, well, we're in dire need of volunteers at the food and clothing bank that they had opened down the street in this very poor neighborhood. And he said, in fact, the need is so dire that we are thinking of closing it down if we don't get any more volunteers coming in the next couple weeks. And I'm sitting there, and you know, kind of, it seemed like common sense at the moment that, wow, I need to go and help. I need to go and do something there. And then the normal Carol common sense was like, well, how could I possibly do that? I mean, I have business to attend to. I have to be out of here. I have to get down the coast of California, and I don't have time for being at a, you know, clothing and food bank. But as I really thought about it, God really just kind of moved those objections away and brought to mind ways that I could change my schedule to be there that Monday morning and then go on to my business. And as soon as that happened, that decision inside of myself that, okay, I'm gonna do this, such a sense of freedom and energy came over me, like nothing could possibly get in the way. And I, at the time, that was a brand new feeling, but I've come to associate that with the way that I feel when I know I'm really in step with what the Spirit is asking me to do. And so I thought, great, that's what I'm gonna do. But I got to the hotel that evening, and I kept waking up every couple of hours, just with all this energy. I just had to get out of bed. I just had to go and be at this food and clothing bank, and that kept happening all night. And then finally in the morning, I wake up. Okay, I'm going to go, and then really the practicalities hit me, like I don't even know what time the food and clothing bank opens. I don't know where down the street from the church even is. And of course, it's Monday morning, and everybody knows that most churches are not open Monday morning. So there's no place, nobody to call to even find out. So this keeps going through my mind. And today, in hindsight, I sit back and think, boy, you know, why didn't I think, just never mind? But then thought never came to mind. I had such a sense of, I was compelled to go. Like the stones were gonna cry out if I didn't go. And so it never even occurred to me not to go. So after making a couple calls, I figured, well, nobody's answering, I'm just gonna get in the car and I'm gonna go. Okay, I get in the car and I go. And while I'm driving there, I'm thinking, how am I possibly gonna explain myself to them? I mean, I'm a visitor from Philadelphia. I'm not in their denomination. I'm just there for the morning. I'm not gonna solve their long-term volunteer problem. I'm just here. And the more I thought about it, the more foolish I felt. And I get there, and miraculously, here's a receptionist there in front of the church, and I look at her, and I thought, okay, what do I say? And I said, well, I'm not from around here, and I know this is gonna sound kind of strange, but I think that God has sent me here this morning to work in your clothing and food bank. And she looks at me and she says, oh, honey, that's not strange at all. People say that all the time. So clearly I was in the right place.
Your background, people didn't say that all the time, right?
No.
This is kind of a new realm for you.
Right. I'm really married in a mainline Presbyterian church, and these kind of things just don't happen to mainline Presbyterians, you know? And so it was, that's really, it was a brand new experience,
yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, yes, and so they put me to work folding socks and putting clothes on racks, surrounded by the most Spirit-led women you could ever imagine. These women were so sold out to being present to whoever came for clothing, for food, for prayer, for whatever it was going to take. These women were just right there. And so I had come to California to, you know, increase the company's bottom line and do my job and all those good things that people were paying me to do. And instead, I was so certain that I was exactly where I was supposed to be that morning, just helping a bunch of ladies, lending a hand to people who are actually changing people's lives one lady at a time, one person at a time.
Right.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
And just for me, it really made it very real, this idea that the Holy Spirit will move heaven and earth and whatever else is necessary to put us, just as Jason Besner was saying, in the right place at the right time for his purpose. But so often I miss it because I'm so busy with my agenda and what I have to get done today and my plan and my to-do list, and I miss it. And this day, I didn't miss it. And so I was so excited that I didn't miss it. I had the mental and spiritual space to actually hear and obey.
Yeah. What I loved about the story, Christopher Peters was reminding us a couple weeks ago about this idea, the word sent, and how the Holy Spirit, the very nature of the Holy Spirit, and if you look at Acts chapter 2 and the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came, and then Peter started preaching, and people got saved. You know, there's always this link of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and making the name of Jesus known and ministering to others. And that's this story. There was this clear link between God moved on you in worship, but then his next step was, now go serve. Now go serve someone. So, yeah. So thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Well, we're out of here soon to go to the picnic. As I said at the beginning, though, I wanted to give opportunity for brief, again, the word is brief, if anybody has anything to share from last Sunday. A number of people came forward for ministry. I didn't know if anybody, we're not going to draw this out, I'm not trying to make something happen, but if there was anybody that had something they'd like to share from that ministry time, you're free to do that.
Pastor Ron a couple of weeks ago, if there's ever a time for a testimony, I'm going to do it. So, and this is not what was on my heart at that time, though. I want to read a passage, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 23. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts that don't always end when you're just a youth, when you get older. Sometimes they just keep doing things in the flesh. But pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. I was led to that passage by someone I spoke to in Colorado on the phone last Friday. Just one verse in there, but it was talking to me about how sometimes my mouth gets in the way of my purpose for God. And it shows that we have to put away even minor disputes and focus on the power of the Holy Spirit to be open to what Donna mentioned, pray without ceasing. The attitude of praying without ceasing is to seek God's guidance in all situations, even small ones. I just praise God for that awareness that he gave me on Friday and leading me into this passage today.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay. So I said at the beginning that if there's any way we can pray with you, we're available, happy to do that again today as we close here. We'll close, I'll have a prayer. As Brian said earlier, I hope you can join us at the picnic. We're meeting at, what's it called? We used to call it Charlestown Park. I don't think that's the official name, but it's on Charlestown Road. What is it? We're at the Shank Pavilion. That's the name of the pavilion we're at. But just ask anybody or follow anybody. You go down Columbia Avenue, turn right on 741 Millersville Pike, and then Charlestown Road is on the right, and that's where the park is. So if you forgot to bring food or you don't have food, I understand we have some extra food there, so come on and join us. And like I said last Sunday, for those of you who would really like someone to pray with you about the ministry of the Holy Spirit or just something God might be saying to you, I'm available to do that, but I know a number of you went to someone else in the congregation during ministry time last Sunday, and that's very valuable too. Go to someone that knows you, someone you trust, and ask them to pray with you. So, all right, let's pray together. Father, thank you for our morning together. Thank you for these stories of your work when we really begin to seek your plan for us, to hear your voice speaking to us, to listen to those promptings you place in us, God. As Carol said, and I can immediately identify with that, those promptings that we are often quick to dismiss because, well, no, I don't really have time for that, or I'm not really sure that makes sense. God, forgive us for running your wisdom through our human filter. God, that's never a good idea. So we pray that you would continue to make us sensitive and desiring, looking for, God, the things that you are saying to us, listening for the things you are saying to us. So thank you for our time together this morning. We pray your blessing on the time of fellowship at the picnic today. And may all of these things be pleasing to you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, thanks so much for being with us. Next Sunday, I plan on asking the question in the sermon, is there such a thing as a Spirit-filled church? So we'll talk about that next Sunday, okay? God bless you. Have a good day. If we can pray for you, come on up.